Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to this week's Media Teleconference. This is Ross Foreman with Impact Wrestling. Gives me great privilege this week to welcome the world champion, Austin Aries. Welcome back to Impact Wrestling and welcome to the Media Teleconference.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for us.
Austin, how's it going for you? And obviously, welcome back and bring us up to speed. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, man. Just got back from Peru. Getting myself ready for an event here tonight. Debuting for MLW here in Orlando. Just down the road from myself. So things are good. Staying busy.
All righty. Well, quickly, as long as you bring it up, what were you doing in Peru? Talk about that. That had been an interesting trip.
Yeah, it was great. Imperial Lucha Libre, about 2,000 fans that were just bringing a lot of energy and excitement. Stacked card. Guys all went out there and really blew the roof off the place. Had the pleasure of getting there with the villain, Marty Scurll. And we had a lot of fun. One umbrella, two bananas, and four belts.
All righty. Well, I got to ask you, and I'm sure everybody else is going to be wondering, how do you come in perhaps in record time, claim the world championship from Eli Drake?
I was probably as shocked as everybody else was. I put a tweet out yesterday. Just sometimes one miscalculation, a combo of a couple of lethal moves, and the old dress shoes drop kick, caught him right in the old face, brainbuster, which has been one of my trusty finishers for almost all my career, and there you have it. So I'm sure Eli's regretting his decision to make the match as he did, and I'm sure he'll want a rematch, and I'm more than happy to oblige.
Alrighty, well, we have a full house of media waiting to talk to you, Austin. So media, open it up at this time. Again, it's *6 to get in queue for a question. Again, as always, I hope you do identify yourself, identify your media outlet, and please limit it to one question at a time so we can get as many questions to Austin as time permits.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press *6.
Hey, Austin, this is Gray Matthews with HitRemote.com. I just wanted to know, when did you first entertain the idea of returning to Impact?
We had some initial discussions shortly after I was a free agent, really before the new team was put into place. I had a conversation with Sanjay, and we were just kind of talking about some different things. And at the time, I wasn't really interested in coming in as talent. I was more interested possibly as coming in as part of the team to kind of help right the ship, if anything. And just realized at that point that probably wasn't a fit, for me. And then I think, it really wasn't until, I'm trying to remember when. It was, maybe late December. I mean, when I talked now and they had the team in place, I got to kind of hear the philosophy of what they wanted to try to do to try to turn things around there. Had a good conversation with Scott Zamore, decided that maybe this was a place where I could come in and lend a hand and really help them start to rebuild Impact Wrestling back to some prominence.
Hey, this is Vijay from SportsKira in India. My question is, this time after your return, did you consciously decide to return as a heavyweight as compared to, say, an X-Division or a cruiserweight wrestler after your run in 205 Live? Thank you.
I decided to return as a world-class wrestler, and that's why I've made sure that people understand this is the Impact World Championship. For me, weight divisions in wrestling is a little silly because we never adhere to them. We never use them, right? And there's also this perception that if you're, if you're less than a heavyweight or if you're, not 206 pounds, somehow you can't be on top of the card or you can't be considered main event talent. And it's just foolish. If you look at other sports such as MMA or boxing, guys like Floyd Mayweather, guys like Conor McGregor, never been heavyweights a day in their life, yet they've, been some of the biggest draws that are out in their respective sports. So I think it's important for wrestling to also follow suit. And, you don't need to be a heavyweight to be world class. You don't need to be a heavyweight to be in the main event or to be the guy who draws money. And, I'm hoping to change that perception. And, right now I'm the Impact World Champion. There's no weight restriction. There's no weight requirements on there. If you're world class and you think you can beat me, I'm willing to put the title on the line.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out GoWeck.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Hi, Austin. This is Marcus Gray with Total Wrestling Man. First off, congratulations on your huge title win. The last time you were world champion, you talked about, a potential bone tear coming, how you want to be the leader in that. Do you still feel the same way in light of where the company is now?
Yeah, I felt, back in the, my first time I won the championship, there was a good buzz with the company. They obviously had some bigger, more, world-renowned names with Hulk Hogan in the fold, Jeff Hardy, things of that sort. But I felt that, with things that had happened there kind of organically, that there was really a buzz with what was going on within the company that I thought, for whatever reason, they failed to capitalize on. Fast forward now, the company's obviously in a much different situation. Kind of a reboot, which this company's had a few of them, so people are skeptical. But, what I hope people understand is that for me to come back to this company, and I've been there through different regime changes, and I've had my trials and tribulations, for me to come back here now should really be a signal that things are different. There's different thought processes, and there's different people at the helm, because I wouldn't be here otherwise. And so I do take it seriously to be someone that can usher in some change, not just from an in-ring standpoint, but from a philosophical standpoint of how they're going to do business, how they're going to treat talent. And really, for me, allowing me to come in and still be an independent contractor. And I think that's really important. The wrestling industry is changing right now. And, I think Impact is aware of that, and they want to be kind of on the cutting edge to kind of help usher maybe a new philosophy in how companies work with talent.
Hello, Austin. My name is Stephanie from Future Magazine in UK. I want to ask you, who are the wrestlers you're looking forward to continue working on Impact? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie. There's a lot of competitors in Impact right now that, I haven't had the opportunity to get in the ring with, just off the top of my head, obviously, my match with Eli Drake, if you want to call it that, was so short. I'd sure love to get back in there with him again and make sure that, we have a proper match so that he has no excuses and I can feel like I really earned this championship. You have guys like Johnny Impact, who's obviously well-traveled, but we've never been in the ring together. Alberto Del Rio, along the same lines, a guy who's kind of been everywhere, but we've never had the opportunity to step in the ring. There's some younger guys, too, that are making their way up that, I kind of have my eye on. Eventually, maybe get the opportunity to step in the ring with those two.
Hi, Austin. This is James from Wrestling Epicenter. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and welcome back, by the way.
Thanks, James.
My first question is going to be, you guys, yourself and several others departed, went to WWE with, there was a whole class, almost like a New Radicals kind of vibe. Now that you're backstage in Impact Wrestling, how has it changed, and can you feel that there is a new revival? The Knicks.
Yeah, there's just a different energy. I think, and again, I think I touched on this earlier, I know that this company has been through some different changes over the years, but for me it was important that, some of the founding philosophies of how the company did business are no longer there. And that was important that when I talked with Scott and I talked with Don, talked with Sanjay, we're really in line with how they want to go about rebuilding this. And really changing philosophies on how the company has relationships with talent. You've got to understand, this is a different day in wrestling. You don't need a professional wrestling company's platform to necessarily get yourself over. We all have our social mediums. We all have our social platforms, whether it's, with our Twitters, our Facebook, our YouTube channels. People can build their own brands outside of any one certain company. And also with companies, they don't necessarily need to have network television to get their product out there, I'm really fortunate now, right, to be working with a number of different companies who all have their own streaming service, and they put their stuff up on the YouTube channel so that their content's out there. And so I think really we're looking at this new age of professional wrestling where it can really be where it can truly be a mutually beneficial relationship with all the restrictions and stuff that maybe we had in the old philosophy and the old mindset. So when I go there, I see that you have a bunch of guys who see this opportunity to use the Impact Wrestling brand to raise their platform, and vice versa, that Impact can use guys like myself to help raise and bring some notoriety to their company. So, I think, listen, there's a long road ahead. There's a lot of work to do, and nobody's delusional to that. But I think that the right guys have the right philosophy, and I feel that when you're back there, you see a lot of hungry guys who maybe haven't had an opportunity to step on a national stage, an international stage, and everyone's going out there and trying to kind of make their mark. So, at this last set of TV tapings, there was definitely, I felt, again, while there's going to be growing pains, there was definitely a positive energy and a lot of excitement about what's going on and what the future holds.
Hey, Austin, it's Mike Johnson from PW Insider. How are you, sir?
What's up, Mike? How you doing? Good to hear you.
Doing good. So, obviously, coming back into the company in a major role like this, there's a lot of pressure on you, and the company's in a position where a lot needs to be done to try and rebuild it. This is a unique opportunity for you in that you're going to be one of the central figures going forward here. What sort of pressure did you feel walking out that night knowing that as this company moves forward, they're kind of putting you in the middle of the chess game as one of the players that they're going to start to build around?
It's a good point. I don't know that I felt pressure so much. I think if anything, it continued to motivate me, and reinvigorate me, coming off of where I was, where I didn't really have a lot of the creative freedom, didn't have a lot of the input. I didn't really get to be myself. To have a company like this really, entrusted me and say, hey, we want Austin Aries for Austin Aries. We believe in what you do. We believe in how you want to do business. And to be a central figure to help, try to help this company turn things around. I take a lot of pride in that, and I'm going to go out there and work my ass off to try to deliver. I've always felt that, I probably work better under pressure. So, I think for me it was just going out there and, not really knowing exactly, again, the impact zone can be an interesting barometer, fans. So I wasn't sure exactly how I'd be received, but the reception was good. I know maybe it didn't sound that way on the television show. When you're doing some post commentary, sometimes you can kind of lose the feel of the energy that was in that place. But there was a lot of energy in there. I was happy to welcome back with open arms, and also just happy to have a team of guys who believe in what I can bring to the table, and are that kind of put me in a position to help this company really turn things around. So I'm excited and grateful for the opportunity.
Hello, Austin. David Dunn from the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. My question to you pertains to your schedule in wrestling all around the world. I know you hold a number of championships. You've got the Defiant Championship in the UK, championships in Australia. So you're probably pretty well placed to answer this in terms of what do you think is the state of the professional wrestling business in general in 2018 on a worldwide scale?
It's as good as I've ever seen it. I've been doing this 17 years, and for a lot of that, I was making my name on the independent scene. So, when I was free and clear to go start taking bookings, I was really surprised and really happy and excited to see just how strong and how vibrant the pro wrestling scene is across the globe. And again, I attest that a lot to, social media and the internet, which is just really, shrunken everything globally. To where, again, I'm going to be going to New Zealand here in the next month about, the World Series Wrestling Champion, so I'm going to be returning to Australia. Just went to Peru. I'm going to be going to Chile. I've had offers to go a bunch of places. I haven't been able to fit my schedule yet. So it shows me that there's a market there, there's a fan base there that want to see an alternative to what they've been given, and they want to see pro wrestlers, pro wrestling. And, I think that there's a lot of guys who are recognizing that and say, this is really maybe the first time where, as an independent wrestler, you can go out and make a great living. You could make a living before, and you could maybe make a good living, but you can go make a great living now traveling the world, and there's enough quality promotions who are trying to do things the right way that give guys the opportunity to go out and do that. And, for someone like myself, who values a certain sense of freedom, values the artistic expression I get to have. I couldn't be happier right now with the landscape of professional wrestling and being someone who's trying to bridge a lot of those places together, because I think, again, companies are seeing if they work together, that there's a pretty big pie that can be baked and everybody can have a nice slice instead of fighting over the crumbs, which is kind of the old philosophy of what wrestling's been held back with for a number of years.
Austin, Jim Barcelone with MiamiHerald.com. Was wondering, you mentioned about freedom and creativity. I was wondering, what was your time like then in WWE, and what did you learn or take from your experiences there?
It was a great experience. You know, I'll always be grateful for the opportunity. And obviously, coming on the other side of it's put me in a great position. Definitely raised my notoriety, and I did learn a lot of things there. But, you know, that's a very corporate structure, and with that comes a lot of layers, and that's a certain way they do things, and I'm certainly not going to argue with it because they're very successful in what they do. But just like anything else, I always use the analogy, McDonald's sold 1 billion hamburgers, and they're worldwide, and there's not a country you can go to on the globe where you don't see the imprint of McDonald's. But there's other places to eat food, and not everybody likes McDonald's, even though that they're the most popular and they're the biggest. It doesn't necessarily mean they're the best. That comes down to personal preference. So for me, going there was an opportunity to see how things are done at that scale, with their philosophy, and I definitely learned from it. I definitely benefited from it. And if the situation was right, I'd entertain the opportunity to go back. But right now, I'm really enjoying my life right now with having the freedoms to be able to go do these things. And it's funny because this country especially, we talk about freedom. We talk about independence, which is like one of the big things that this country is founded on. And yet, somewhere along the way with professional wrestling, if you're an indie wrestler, that has this negative connotation, like you're not quite good enough or you're not quite in the big leagues. But yet, I would think if you ask anybody who has a 9-to-5 job or is beholden to the man, if they could have more independence in their life, they would surely take it, and they'd probably give up a lot of things to have that. So to have some independence to be able to kind of make my own schedule to stay a couple of extra days in Peru and go hike Machu Picchu, to stay a few extra days in Australia and New Zealand to actually enjoy the experience, those things are important to me. And right now, the professional wrestling scene is providing that, and it's a great thing.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
Hey, Mr. Aries. This is Big Ray from OneWrestling.com. It's great to have you back in Impact. I'm sure we're all excited for the future with Austin Aries here in Impact. Now, speaking about the future, I don't know if you're able to talk about this, but I'll just ask. Mr. Aries, are you signed to a long-term deal with Impact Wrestling? And if so, again, moving forward, what's the future hold for Austin Aries? Are you looking to stay within the confines of the ring, or do you look to have more of a, let's say, creative role moving forward in the future, sir? Thank you.
Thank you. Two parts. So, I'm not under any type of long-term contract with Impact Wrestling. We came to an agreement for a certain number of dates that would run a certain length of time. But there's really no restrictions on me, which was the beautiful thing of this opportunity. They wanted me to keep doing what I'm doing, which is basically traveling around. And I say it tongue-in-cheek, but the belt collector, right? I'm going around all these promotions and trying to collect titles. So that, for me, was the opportunity that was appealing to me. I wasn't coming in and being put with restrictions or we're gonna own this or we're going to take a cut of this. It was, hey, we like what you're doing. We like the philosophy of what you're doing. And we'd like to work together in a mutually beneficial partnership that allows us to both, hopefully come out ahead. So the door is obviously open for me to continue with Impact Wrestling. And I would love if things, unraveled in a way to where it made it a no-brainer for me to continue this relationship moving forward for the next year, the next 2 years, whatever it may be. But obviously there's a lot of opportunity out there, and it's important for me to keep my flexibility and to keep those options and not really have those restrictions. So, as far as the second part, I'm feeling good right now. I'm about to hit 40. But I think I have, again, I was talking with Diamond Dallas Page, and I was hanging out with him in Atlanta not that long ago, and he said, bro, my career didn't even take off till I was 40. You know, so when I started thinking about that, I said, hey, I've done a lot of, I've been blessed to do a lot of great things in the industry so far, but, I think that I've got another good length of time in me as an in-ring competitor. And I'm lucky enough that a lot of these places I'm working, they do respect my and value my opinions when it comes to the creative aspect, not just for myself, but as a whole. So I'm kind of getting the best of both worlds in that way. And, down the line, once my in-ring days are behind me, if I want to stay within the industry, I think there's some facets that would definitely be appealing, whether that's in a creative aspect or back behind the commentary table.
Hi, Austin. This is Rory from Team Venom Media. Firstly, congratulations on your title win.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask was, we've recently seen the Global Wrestling Network for Impact Wrestling get launched on the Xbox One in the UK, which has opened up a new avenue for viewers to see Impact. What highlights of your career would you recommend people to pick up on from that?
Oh, man. Off the top of my head, I think even going back to my first stint there, the paparazzi production, the paparazzi challenge, go back and watch those from time to time, and those are just a bunch of guys going out there and having some fun doing some silly stuff. Obviously that wasn't me, that was Austin Starr. But then, fast forward, obviously, I've had a lot of success in the X Division. Been a lot of exciting matches in there. I think that, my whole lead up to the Option C and then, winning the World Championship against Bobby Roode, there was a lot of great matches mixed in there with Bully Ray and then going on with, the feud with Jeff Hardy. And then even the tag team stuff I did with Bobby Roode as the Dirty Heels, there was a lot of fun moments in there too. So, and it's a great opportunity for fans to go back and if you're new to Impact Wrestling, to kind of go back and see some of the history and the lineage of the people who have been there throughout the history and kind of get yourself familiar. And again, just another way for people to enjoy the content. And again, I think more and more companies are going that direction where, they have their streaming service that people can, subscribe to and really get all the different content that they want. So it's a really cool time to be a wrestling fan. There's so much out there to be explored.
Hi, Austin. This is Nick Hausman from WrestleZone.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat today.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for hanging out with us.
My question is, obviously you've been out now on the road all over the world through Australia. You've obviously worked with a lot of great talent. Is there anyone out there right now that you are saying to Impact Management, we need to go after this individual? I think I could have a great match with them, and I think they'd be good for our locker room.
Interesting question. This, I guess, falls in line of talent. My friend Johnny LaQuasto, who I met back in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a number of years ago, is a really funny comedian, but he's also a really good commentator and announcer. And I know that, as they were trying to, maybe think about bringing some guys in that role, that's definitely a name I put out there. Some of the guys that I'm mixing up, like a guy like Marty Scurll, have some contractual obligations. Guy like Matt Riddle that I just got the chance to wrestle not that long ago, again, have some contractual obligations that maybe would prohibit them from coming to Impact Wrestling. There's another guy, Marcus Burke, who maybe I got a soft spot for him because he's a fellow vegan, but got to know him a little bit, and I think he's also a guy who would benefit from having the opportunity to step on a more international scene and has a lot to offer. So there's a lot. There's so much talent all over them. That I've been able to step in the ring with, and that's kind of the exciting thing, because right now, there's kind of a whole new generation of guys that, while they make me feel a little old when they remind me that they watched me back I loved your match with Samoa Joe in 2004. I remember I was watching it with my grade school friends. But it's cool to see that, you know, I think the future wrestling's in good hands because there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of athleticism, and again, the landscape's changed, so there's a lot of opportunity for those guys.
Ryan Bennett from GorillaPosition.com. Austin, you're considered one of the most versatile wrestlers in the world. Do you credit that with how much you've traveled and how much do you borrow from the different international styles that you've seen?
Somewhat. I think also, you know, I broke in. It was really important for me because I wasn't the biggest guy. I never saw myself as a small guy, but I realized I wasn't the biggest guy. But I never wanted to be pigeonholed. You know, he's just a cruiserweight. I wanted to pride myself on being somebody that really, you can put anywhere on the card and ask me to do anything, whether you want to have a comedy match, a tag team match, or you need a main event feel, that I can go out there and do that. And I think that's something that's helped me be successful because, you know, when you can have that versatility, there's always a spot for you, or there should always be a spot for you somewhere on the card. There's never a reason that people shouldn't be able to find something for you creatively when you can have that type of versatility. So, you know, I think that's something that I always try to, you know, when I'm doing seminars and things like that, I always try to tell a lot of the younger guys is the more multifaceted you can be, not just in styles of wrestling, but also understanding that there's different ways to entertain the audience every night. It's not always with the five-star match. You know, some nights that's not what your job is. And again, you can't necessarily have a card that's just all five-star matches. You need to have variety, and you need to give the audience a little bit of different things. So, it's something I've always kind of prided myself on, and I think it's definitely lended itself well in the over years.
Yes, this is Hannibal from thehannibaltv.com. There were some reports that prior to your departure with WWE, there were some backstage issues with the writing staff. Is there any truth to that?
Some reports, huh, Hannibal?
Yeah.
Who are those reports from? Who are the sources of those reports?
Apparently the Wrestling Observer.
The Wrestling Observer. But who actually said that?
There was no name source
to those reports. But here's an interesting thing with that. I'll bet you the writers probably didn't like working with me very much because understand that in that environment, when I'm given something that the writers hand me, if I have any things that I think should be adjusted or maybe things that I wouldn't personally say, as someone who's been doing this for 17 years, and as a writer, it's not easy for us to just go and change those things. But they then have to go march back into the office and have those things changed for them. So that the process is a little tedious. And it really, to me, takes a lot of the artistic and creative freedoms away from the wrestlers. I don't know any writer that would know my voice better than myself. I've been doing this a long time. I'll say this. If there's any writers who have any issues with me in WWE, they certainly never expressed that to me. It was something that was never brought to my attention, so I can't really speak on anonymous reports. But I will say the process in and of itself is tedious, and for a bunch of guys who are, you know, sometimes afraid for their jobs or scared of their own shadows, to have to repeatedly march into the chairman's office to ask if a line could be changed or some verbiage could be switched around. I'm sure for them, maybe someone looked at that as kind of a pain in the ass. But, outside of that, if that wasn't the case, that was never brought to my attention. So I guess that's all speculation and hearsay.
Hi, Austin. This is Roz Geary with Wrestling Inc. How are you?
Doing good. How's everything, man?
Everything's good. I wanted to ask you about the promo you gave at House of Hardcore. I thought it was a great promo about looking within yourself and taking personal responsibility. I just wanted to know how things have changed for you personally now since your last run with Impact Wrestling.
Well, first of all, thank you, because there's some people who did appreciate that promo. But you know what? I thought with that promo, I thought that there was a people were expecting me to go out there and to start, you know, launching napalm and burning bridges, and it's easy to do, right? It's easy to always point the finger at other people and blame them. But I wanted to go out there and do something that people weren't expecting, and I want to take personal accountability. You know, because again, you know, the only thing that we can truly change is ourselves. The only thing that we can look at in situations that maybe don't work out the way we'd like them to work out is, what did I do to contribute to that? I can't change all the other factors in play other than the factors that I bring to the table. And, you know, for any backlash that I did get from certain people, or certain, you know, contingencies on the internet, I got a lot of messages and a lot of comments from fans who really appreciated someone kind of stepping out and doing that, and also made them feel like someone understood some of the things that they struggle with. So, you know, maybe went a little long. I don't think I needed 13 minutes to maybe to do all that, but you know, I thought it was something that, again, nobody else's promo was transcripted the following day except mine. So honestly, I did something like this. People were talking about it, whether they liked it or they hated it. But yeah, you know, for my first run of Impact, I don't know that I've changed a whole lot, other than trying to be more mindful of how I handle situations. You know, my convictions are my convictions. My philosophies on how you treat people, how you go about business, haven't really changed. But now as I come back, you know, the fourth time, some of the people in positions of power have changed, and the way that they want to go about business, the way they want to treat people. You know, again, just looking somebody in the eye and being honest with them. That's not an easy thing to find in this industry, and it hasn't been for a long time. And I never understood why, with guys who are in such positions of power, would be so afraid to look somebody in the face and just tell to them straight. You know, and there's a lot of, you know, so the whole glad handing and smiling and stabbing somebody in the back or waiting until their back's turned to kind of bury them, I've never understood that philosophy. And unfortunately, when you look in somebody's eyes and you're honest with them, you know, and you tell them some things that maybe they don't want to hear, it doesn't always make you the most popular person, you know? But luckily for me, I'm in a position where I don't have to win popularity contests to be successful. You know, I can rely on my skill, my passion, and my philosophies on wrestling, and don't have to worry about winning the popularity contest. So, you know, I try to be a little more, I try to handle things a little more diplomatically at times. I try to make sure that I'm not letting my emotion get the best of me. But, you know, the things that I still hold true haven't really changed much from really the beginning of my career.
Hey, the different sports kid again. My question is, what did you think of the former champion Eli Drake, and did you keep up with the product when during your time away from Impact Wrestling? Thank you.
What did I think of Eli Drake's promo? I was abused, you know, the greatest wrestler that ever lived, the greatest friend that ever lived, the greatest champion that ever lived. You know, I think Eli is definitely a charismatic guy. He definitely has the gift of gab, and I think sometimes, you know, I think people overlook that he's actually a pretty good in-ring wrestler. He's very athletic. He's got a great look to him. He's in great shape. I think sometimes his character almost overshadows that, where people don't give him the credit for that. As far as following the product, you know what? I try to follow wrestling as much as I need to for someone who does it for a living, but I'm not a fanatical anymore. You know, I think somewhere along the line, maybe I outgrew being a diehard fan of professional wrestling. I think a lot of it, to be quite honest, isn't really catered to somebody my age with my interests. You know, I think, you know, a lot of the product's geared more towards kids. I mean, that's when I fell in love with wrestling when I was 4 years old. But I do try to keep up to make sure I'm educated, make sure that, you know, again, if somebody does this for a profession, that I'm keeping myself in the loop with the talent and what's going on with different companies, so that I'm always educated.
Yeah, Jim Barcelone, MyMural.com again. You've seen an Impact Wrestling where American Top Team has gotten involved. You see in WWE where Ronda Rousey is now stepping up and getting involved there. What are your thoughts when someone that's not per se in wrestling at the time is coming into the company and being put in the specific spots like that? Your thoughts on that area of the business?
I mean, listen, you can go back and Jesse Ventura said it, that back when he went to go do Predator, that, you know, the best way to make it big in the wrestling industry is go make it big in any other industry. And it's always been that way. You know, do I necessarily agree with that? Yes and no. You know, again, this is about maybe bringing notoriety and bringing more mainstream to the to your product. Then it would make sense to go out and bring some of these people into the fold. But I think there has always been this handicap where certain companies treat people who don't like wrestling a lot better than they treat the people who do like wrestling. Because, again, if they tell someone who has passion for wrestling, now we're not interested in you. Now we don't have anything for you. They don't know that person will still be there 2, 3, 4 years down the road because this is what they love to do. If they tell that football player, their ex-football player, that they're not interested in them, that guy might disappear. They may never see him again. So they'll give that guy the contract. You know, but the other guy that they know will keep grinding and he'll be there if and when they decide they want him. So, you know, I think sometimes for a lot of, you know, men and women, there's been this idea that, and this, you know, I've heard it from different people over the years where it's you almost get used against you because you love wrestling so much because they know that they can kind of kick sand in your face and you'll take it because this is what you love to do. But if you go do that to some swimsuit model, she'll go find another career. So I think that there's a balance there. I think that you need to invest in the right people, you know, within the company. And I think that there's been some missteps over the years by all the companies to where they invest in the wrong people while not giving the credit to the people who have been there to help build that place. And what that does sometimes is creates a bit of a negative environment in the back where people don't feel like they're being rewarded for loving the industry, respecting the industry, and working hard in the industry. When they see people who don't have those things, just immediately leapfrog them and be treated completely differently.
Hey, Mr. Aries, it's Big Ray from OneWrestling.com again. Last week we had on, what's up, man? Last week we had on Braxton Sutter and Allie, and that was a really fun interview. And, you know, Allie's a big proponent of being a vegan, and you yourself, from what we know, you're quite the vegan, and you're in phenomenal shape. I just wanted to know, you know, just for fun, give us some great health tips regarding being a vegan, and what are some of your favorite meals moving forward, and just tell us about that vegan lifestyle.
Well, you know, I think, and even if you're not vegan, if you don't want to go, because again, I like using the term plant-based diet because I feel like vegan is kind of an all-or-nothing proposition, right? You're either vegan or you're not. But everybody can eat more of a plant-based diet. You know, there's no excuses to not do that. I think the biggest thing for me is just food education. I think people are so unaware of how bad most of the things are that are made the easiest and most readily available to them. You know, and realize that animal products are almost everything we consume. You know, I ask some people who say to me, you know, veganism is so extreme. You know, you never eat any dairy, you never eat any eggs, you never eat any meat. Like, that's so extreme. And I counter that with asking them when's the last meal they had that didn't have one of those things in it. And a lot of times they can't remember the last time they had a meal that didn't have meat, dairy, or eggs attached to it. So we're kind of indoctrinated in this different mindset that every meal has to have some type of animal product in it. And really, when you start following the money, you realize that's just a philosophy that's been taught to us by big corporations who control all these things. And when you look at all the diseases and the ailments and obesity and diabetes and cancer and all these things we can't seem to find the cure for, we don't want to talk about food. And there's a lot of money being spent to not talk about food. There's a lot of money being spent, so again, now we can't even go and film to see what's happening inside these slaughterhouses, how these animals are being raised and treated and killed. And they're spending, you know, again, huge amounts of money to keep it secret. When companies spend a lot of money to keep things secret, you should question why that is. So, again, as a consumer, we have the ultimate responsibility. We have the ultimate vote with our checkbook of what we will and will not find acceptable to put in our bodies. And I think as you're seeing now, the trend is really picking up, and there's more and more athletes and entertainers like Allie, like myself, football players, basketball players, that are starting to adopt more of a plant-based diet or 100% plant-based diet. And the corporations are now taking notice because, again, the milk industry is taking a huge hit financially. The egg industry is taking a huge hit financially. And now they're scrambling to figure out how they can still get their piece of the pie. And that's when they're buying up some of these more plant-based companies because that's where the trend's going. Because, again, I don't need to like preach anybody to go vegan. I don't push anybody to go vegan. I do challenge them to open up their mindset and to try it because, again, I feel like when they see the results, when they start feeling better, when they start losing weight, when they start getting off their pharmaceuticals, that's enough for them to keep going that way. So, again, we have a healthcare system that doesn't want healthy people, they want sick people, because healthy people, once somebody's healthy and you don't need your pharmaceuticals anymore, they lost the customer. So you have a food system that keeps people sick, which then sends them over to their healthcare system, which just treats you with different pharmaceuticals. So, again, the onus is on the consumer to educate themselves. And, again, the more plant-based diet you eat, really the better you're going to feel, the better it is for the animals, and the better it is for the environment.
Hey, Austin, it's Graham Matthews from Interrupt.com again. On the same show that you won the TNA, or the Impact World Championship, rather, just last week, just so happened to be the same show that they returned the four-sided ring. So what's it like working back in a four-sided ring compared to the six-sided ring during your last tenure with the company? And also, any plans to write a second book after the success of Food Fight?
Well, some reports would say that, I demanded that the four-sided ring was brought back before I would come back to the company. And those reports also probably stated I demanded to have the opportunity to be the world champion, or I wouldn't come back. But in all seriousness, I think Don and Scott have touched on it, that really the decision for them came down to what had the most support of the people who actually had to go in the ring and work. And I think universally, if you talk to most of the talent, the four-sided ring is where it's at. It's what we're all accustomed to, and I think, again, when I think of pro wrestling, I think of a squared circle, for me, it was great to come back and know that they're gonna switch back to the four sided ring. Again, there's some other factors. Again, when you start talking about the angles of the ropes, the guy who comes off the top rope, I'm used to a 90-degree angle. When you go to a six sided ring, that becomes more obtuse. It changes some things. It changes the extra size can create some issues where your cameras are, where you're running spots. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that people don't think about other than the aesthetics of it. So, I applaud Don and Scott and the team to really listen to the talent and say, well, this is a no-brainer. If this is where they feel more comfortable, this is where they feel more safe, then that's what we're going to do. And kudos to them for that. And as far as writing the second book, I think down the road we could have something that's more along the lines of, a lot of people have been asking me to have, are the recipes in the book, which there aren't really a lot of recipes in the book. So maybe something that's more geared just towards that and more of a recipe book could be something that down the line I would look into.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
Hi, Austin. This is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com again. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the current status of the X Division, given all the success you've had there, and where you can kind of see that evolving and going.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I've always been a little torn on the X Division. Obviously, I was very prominent in the X Division. I owe a lot of my later success through what I was able to do with the X Division. Obviously, the Option C idea. But for me, I've always struggled with what is the X Division? What's the definition of it? And I think that a lot of people have had that. I remember having that discussion with Eric Bischoff back when he was part of the team, and they wanted to kind of bring a weight limit, which I understand, because what is the definition of X Division? The style of wrestling has changed so much. Well, who is an X Division anymore? You got guys like Keith Lee's, 300-some pounds. Well, it's the X Division. Samoa Joe back in the day, 280-pound Samoan. He's X Division. So for me, the struggle has always been is what is the X Division? And then the other, second part is, if you're going to implement some type of weight restriction or weight limit, I think, at one time I did like 215. Well, if that's the case, then you need to do it. Then anybody who's not 215 is in the X Division. And then all of a sudden you look and you go, wow, well, AJ Styles is in the X Division. Jeff Hardy's in the X Division. Now your top guys would be in the X Division. I think that, again, along the lines of the 205 Live thing, there's some guys who aren't 205 pounds who are considered two biggest stars to be put in 205 Live. Well, what does that say about what you think of the division? If you're going to use weight limits and weight restrictions, then use it. When's the last time anybody's seen a weigh-in a pro wrestling show? Right? we have it. So we have these weight restrictions, but we don't use them. Or in the case of the X Division, there's really no definition of what it is other than this stylistic type of wrestling, which maybe back in its inception made a lot of sense, but now fast forward 15 years later, that's the prominent style that most guys work. So for me, that's always been the struggle with the X Division is defining it. And what it is it just a secondary title? Are there weight limits? Are there not weight limits? So I think that's something that, I'm sure Scott and Don and the team, Sanjay, Chris have talked about. And there's a lot of lineage, a lot of history with the X Division. And obviously it's not something that you want to go away, but kind of figuring out exactly what it is in this state, in this current state, in this day and age, I think is important.
Austin, I know your time is limited today. We got one more question for you. Is that okay?
That works.
This is Stephanie again, for Future Magazine. So I'm a French working for British media, and I can't help but ask you, how do you feel to wrestle in UK? The difference with the American audience? The experience of wrestling in England and the fans, of course. And thank you again.
Thank you, Stephanie. I really enjoy going over to the UK. I think that, again, they have some of the most passionate wrestling fans in the world. I know that over the years, the UK has been a great market for Impact Wrestling. Some of the biggest shows of the year have taken place over there. I know it's something that's been talked about that the company would like to do again in the future, very near future, to get back over to the UK because, again, the fan base over there is so strong. And it's been cool for me to go over there and work with companies such as Defiant and IPW UK and be somewhat of a bridge to help some of these companies start working together, to do some things creatively that's interesting for the fans. And also, something that helps both companies, in their business. So, right now it's, in the UK, it's probably about as strong of a scene as I've seen it in quite some time as far as the talent level. The number of companies are being successfully run and profitable, and it's a great thing. And you're seeing a lot more of the UK talent make their way over to the States and really make a name for themselves.
Alrighty, Austin, I appreciate it very much. Thank you for everything. Very insightful media teleconference. The next few weeks certainly will be interesting. Building up to Redemption on April 22nd. Give us a final thought.
All right, I appreciate everybody's time. I'm sure there's some good little snippets in there everybody can cut and paste and give some good shocking headlines tomorrow. And hopefully also there was some good information beyond that too. So I appreciate everybody's time. I'm excited for not only the future of Impact Wrestling, but just professional wrestling as a whole. And I think there's a lot of people that would agree with me that, wrestling is in a very unique time right now, and obviously the media plays a huge part in that. And for me, we can always sift through things and find the negatives. We can always nitpick things. But I think right now, especially with wrestling media, the more that we can accentuate the positives and really keep putting that energy out there, I think that's a plus for everybody. So, this day and age of where, I can't turn the news on without seeing negativity. I just tune it out. So I encourage all the wrestling media and all your different facets, champion the things that you love as opposed to, shine the light on the things that you hate. And I'm going to try to do the same in my personal life and professional life as well.
Alrighty, Austin, thank you very much. Media, thank you guys very much. We will talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Ross. Take care.